The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday. We have Mitch Stroman on today's show. Mitch is the longtime voice of Northern Arizona University football. Can you believe NAU is opening their football season at the end of February? I'm not joking. This Saturday in Flagstaff at the Walk-Up Sky Dome, the Lumberjacks have their season opener. And you're like, Brad, aren't you going to talk about Devin Booker and LeBron? Yes, we'll get to it. Are you going to talk about Russell? Yes, I'll get to Russell Wilson. Spurge is going to be with us in a minute on the news of the day. And it's all fine. But I think for those of you that love football, to go to Flagstaff, I would tell you don't do it because they're not allowing fans in. But their first game is this Saturday, and it's at home. It's a six-game season. We'll talk with Mitch Stroman. Mitch is great. He's got all sorts of insider on NAU. That comes up. But plenty on my mind. Yesterday, I'll just be straight with you. I've been celebrating my birthday since Friday. You know, when you get older, and I'm not older. Well, I'm not older, but you just hit this space where I don't want it to be a one-day deal. So I went camping out with my brother-in-law and sister and all the in-law and all that stuff. They have this enormous, gigantic motorhome. And we went out to the White Tanks. And then we went golfing yesterday in a new place over on the west side. Just hung out, hiked around. And it's like, well, my birthday was 4 days ago. So it's time to just turn the page. Spurge, you know about this stuff, right?
Absolutely. You gotta enjoy it and just take the days to really just soak it all in.
Yeah? When is your birthday? I don't even know.
January 18th. So.
Did I wish you happy birthday in January?
You did.
So okay. You remember. That's how I am. Sure. It's age. What's new? What is going on today? What is in your wheelhouse? We have another ASU basketball game today. This is going to be the case for like the next, what do we have, a game every other day for the next 5 days, right?
Yeah, pretty much every other day they're playing. So they get Washington again. So that'll be interesting. They won big on Tuesday. I think it was like 30 something points.
Washington's
I didn't go to that game.
Awful. Washington's bad. You're not doing the game, are you?
Not tonight, no. I've got actually six games I'm going to in the next 3 days, so took tonight off.
Six games? Why are you wearing a tie, by the way? There's people that are going to be like, what is the deal? And you look like you're in a basement somewhere. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in one of the edit bays at Cronkite, and I'm wearing a tie because if you go over to Facebook in about 2 hours, so 12:30, I'll be anchoring Cronkite Sports Now, which is our Facebook show. So talk
that's
about
awesome.
The Suns, talk about the Coyotes, skating for Layton. Got a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Have you crashed and burned yet in one of those shows where everything
not
just
yet.
Didn't work?
Not yet. Not
oh,
yet.
It's
eventually
beautiful.
It didn't happen, but
yeah, it's beautiful. You're just going along, and all of a sudden, oh, that video didn't come up. I was doing a show. This is back in the day when I was at Channel 3. So Channel 3 had this partnership with a station in Tucson because they were trying to save money. Of course they were. They were blowing bodies out right and left. So the owner of the stations, because there was one they owned in Tucson and one in Phoenix, said, I have a great idea. And it was a really bad idea, but I have a great idea. We'll have the talent in Phoenix do sports and news in Tucson from Phoenix, in between their shows in Phoenix. Well, we're already doing a 4:30, a 5, a 5:30, a 6, an 8, a 9, a 10. So the last thing in the world I wanted to do or anybody wanted to do was rely on people in Tucson. No offense to those of you in Tucson, okay? But like the people that were in Tucson that were working at the station were making nothing and they didn't care. They wanted to get to Tucson and out of Tucson. And so they'd send up video at the last second and it wouldn't say who any of the people were. It was just people wearing U of A stuff. And every night it was U of A stuff because there's nothing else going on in Tucson. And so I'm sitting there like, what are we doing here? And one night, and they did everything remotely. This is a little inside baseball, but the control room for all this stuff went from Phoenix to the control room in Tucson. So they fire their video in Tucson. So if they were asleep at the switch, who looked bad? Me. So one night it was softball. And I talked about some girl and how great she was. And the video froze just as her arm was about to release the ball. And I said, she's fast. She's really fast. I'm expecting the video to pick up. And it didn't. And then all of a sudden, somebody decided to push a whole bunch of buttons in Tucson because they panicked. And it went from one piece of video to the next piece of video, the next piece of video. And I just laughed on the air. And I'm like, what do you want? It's Tucson. And yes, I got ripped a new one the next day by management. Said, this is the dumbest thing you guys have ever done. And they finally pulled the plug on it. So crash and burns are fun. I had a laugh attack. I couldn't get out of it. I started laughing on the air because it was so bad. And I knew it was so bad that there was nothing I could do. Nothing.
Never had that yet, huh? Never had that. At Palomar College, there was a couple times where things go wrong. We once were doing a tribute. It was after the Las Vegas shootings. And I was anchoring it, and I was talking about it. And we were going to have, like, a moment of silence at the end and turn the lights off. And the kid turned them off, like, as we were talking, and, like, a minute and a half early. So we did the last minute. And he couldn't switch back on. So we just, like, did it in the dark. And it was awful. So it happens. The beauties of TV. It happens.
So ASU basketball, you don't sound thrilled at all about it when I ask you about it. So we're not gonna go there. You know that tomorrow the NFL Combine is taking place here in the Valley? Did you know this?
Did not know this. I've been looking at the pro days coming up.
So out at Exos, which is up in North Phoenix by Reach 11, big time workout facility. Exos owns facilities in Phoenix. I think it's Miami. And I want to say Texas. I could be wrong on those. But they're going to do the combine from those three facilities tomorrow and Saturday. And then the pro days are going to happen. So we have the NFL combine right here in Phoenix, and people don't know about it.
Yeah,
I know about it because, you know, I talked to some agents. They said, yeah, my guy's going to be in Phoenix. And of course, I want to get him on. And it's like, no, it's not happening. So the draft is, what, 2 months away now? No, less than 2 months away.
Yeah.
And the NFL calendar is going to reset here in 2 weeks. Fitz is retirement or not retirement. You and I talked about going to Tucson to see Fitz golf on Saturday. And I'm like, there's bigger stories. He's not going to say anything other than, yeah, I'm just out here chilling. I'm having fun. And okay, so you have Fitz at a golf course in Tucson. Got it. Some people would like that, I suppose, but I just think it's ridiculous to chase him around. He'll decide when he wants to decide. Are you into the NFL offseason at all?
100%. That's my main focus on my radio show is the NFL offseason.
What is your show if people wanted to hear you?
Yeah, it's called The Spurge. It's on blazeradioonline.com.
That is awesome.
Yeah, at Palomar at KKSM, like, I needed to show a nickname for my show, and I was like, everyone always called me Spurge in sports growing up, so that could work. I was like, all right, The Spurge, that's the name of the show. So I've just gone all in on the nickname. And
what time is it?
Fun. It's on 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. So can I sit there and make fun of you while you're doing it?
Oh, absolutely. You can call in and make fun of me if you want.
Is it on Facebook where I could sit there and say, what is your tie is crooked? You don't wear the tie when you're doing the show, do you?
No, I don't.
So this is what a dork I was. Okay. I was your age and I would wear a tie on the air every day when I was at 690. I was at the mighty 690. And the LA Times wrote, they did a whole thing of ranking talk show hosts back in the day. And I'm on the list, you know, Rome's on the list. Hacksaw's on the list, and they did strengths and weaknesses. And my weakness was, why does he wear a tie every day? Is he trying to impress for a job interview? So it was kind of funny. And I was like, I don't know, 22, 23. It was beautiful. I should have just never done that. It was a disaster. anybody on campus talking about Tiger or Booker or any of that stuff?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about it at the Sports Bureau, just kind of seeing the updates and giving our thoughts and memories and things like that. Booker thing has really just been not like that. Just, you know, talking about like our, like for me, like Tiger, like most people, especially my age, golf wasn't exciting unless Tiger was there. Yeah, that's how it's always been. I see it that way. A lot of people see it that way. And Booker, I mean, there's a lot of opinions there. I mean, the fact that he's an injury replacement, cool, but that shouldn't have been the case in the first place. That is ridiculous. Last year, that was totally fine when he was injury replacement. This year, he deserved to be an actual all-star reserve. That changes things big time. So there's a lot of opinions there.
So I have this theory, and it's just mine, that LeBron James is as savvy as anybody on the face of the planet, and that he is always out there recruiting. It's kind of like this. When Doc Rivers was asked about a year and a half ago in the offseason about who the best player in the NBA is, and he said, well, Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the NBA by a long ways. And it made big old headlines. And all it was, and Doc got fined. He got fined by the league because that's tampering. Okay. For LeBron to put out what he put out about Devin Booker, to me, is nothing more than tampering. Because there's going to come a time when his contract comes up. And part of the issue with Devin Booker is going to be, you know, when I was in Phoenix, I got passed over year after year after year. And even when I had a good year, I got passed over and I had to be an injury replacement. You know, if it weren't for Damian Lillard last year, Anthony Davis this year, he's still not there. And so there's going to come this point, and there's going to be the people that I'll get the notes on, oh, you're just hating on the Suns. No. When you stink and you're off the radar for so long and you haven't had a deep playoff run, what happened in the bubble was not a deep playoff run. Deep playoff runs are you're playing in the third round trying to get the NBA Finals and the national media gets to know you. When you have that, then you're not struggling for attention because people on the East Coast are not people in Toronto and in New York. And they're saying, well, Western Conference coaches, even the Western Conference coaches, you know, and then I thought last night he reverted back a little bit to a form of, okay, I'm going to get nasty and spatty and LaMelo Ball's getting in him and he's getting in LaMelo Ball. He's in foul trouble and he's complaining and like, dude, don't go back. You're playing so well. It's just a flipping game. It cannot be that important to you. But my point on LeBron is, Spurge, I'm telling you, that is where, if he's here in 2 years when Devin's contract's up, you know who's going to be telling him, hey, man, come to L.A. You're never going to have to face that stuff again. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
And come play with Bronny. That's going to happen. So that's my little rant. You can save this clip. All right, get out of here. You look great. Don't screw up, all right?
All right. Thanks, Brad. Have a good one.
See you, man. There's Spurge. He's going to be on today doing his thing. You can check him out and his content. You can find him over on his social media, too. All right, so I have some NFL stuff and more to get into. And then Mitch Stroman comes up at 10:35. I'm Brad Sussmat. Today's show brought to you by, and every show brought to you by, Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. Stop in to Desert Financial Credit Union. They are continuing to grow by leaps and bounds. We appreciate their support. We're going to talk with Jeff Mishi, by the way, next week from Desert Financial Credit Union about the Arizona Heart Walk. Very near and dear to his heart, as we like to say. All right. So there's some things going on that I think we should get into here before we get to Mitch Stroman. And that is on the Cardinals front. We've not talked about the Cardinals. I'm not one of those that gets wound up about backup left tackles. I just don't think you care about backup linebackers and what they're going to do in the eighth round of the NFL draft. I care. I don't think you do. And there's not even eight rounds in the draft anymore. So within the Cardinals, it is, what is Larry going to do? And what is Hassan Reddick's future going to be? I think those are the two biggest questions that I have asked of me. I don't know what Chandler Jones' status is for the coming season. I don't know. Here we are at the end of February, I'm saying coming season. It's because the calendar flips and everything starts new. Are they going to be in a position to do something with Hassan Reddick? And if they don't do something with Hassan Reddick, then where do they go when it comes to NFL draft time? The combine starts tomorrow, as I said earlier. It's going to be shortened. The Cardinals are sitting there in the middle of the first round. Fitz's future, in my opinion, doesn't really take precedent over losing someone on the defensive side of the football. Because the defense, to me, last season, as the injuries mounted, was just hard to watch. And the other side of it is you have Kyler Murray in his third year coming up, and he's got to produce. And if you lose someone like Fitz, who's old reliable, Mr. Dependable, then you have to look at the wide receiving core and say, okay, where are we going from here? Where is Patrick Peterson going to go from here? Going to stay here? He's not the same player. That's pretty evident. So there's a lot of questions around the Cardinals as we turn the calendar from February into March. But within the division, I think the bigger story is, if you look at what's happened already here in the offseason, where the Rams pick up Matthew Stafford, and Russell Wilson in Seattle sounds like they're heading towards a divorce. And so are the Seahawks going to be one of those teams that jumps into the quarterback market? Quarterback market's really interesting right now Pittsburgh, Dan Rooney comes out yesterday and talks about Ben Roethlisberger, and they hope to have him back. Doesn't mean he's going to be back, but they hope to have him back. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be in Houston. You have new quarterbacks already in Indianapolis and in Detroit. And you have Philadelphia sitting over there saying, maybe we should take a quarterback. There's rumblings in Miami that maybe they didn't go the right direction with Tua. And we all know that Trevor Lawrence is going to end up in Jacksonville. Is Atlanta going to move on from Matt Ryan? I can go on and on each situation. Has Denver got their quarterback situation figured out? If you're a Bronco fan, you'll probably say, come on, Brad, what are you talking about? Of course we don't. If you're in Arizona and the pressure is going to be on Cliff to win this year because the average lifespan of a Cardinal coach is about 3+ years, and here he is. The pressure is going to be on Kyler Murray to produce this year. It is. It's not like, well, he's a rookie. Well, he's gotten better. That's not going to fly. If you go through a third year and it's still up and down, it's about what it takes, and then they say, let's move on. If you're the New York Jets and you're looking at the quarterback market that's out there now, I can throw a number of teams. If you're the New England Patriots and you look at the quarterback market, if you're the New Orleans Saints and you look at the quarterback market, so everything's going to be focused on where do they go? Where's Justin Fields going to end up after Trevor Lawrence? And so on and down and down and down it goes. And the Cardinals, fortunately, don't have to go down that path for now. But we're sitting here a year from now, and it's still the lack of productivity. And you see how challenging the NFC West is. The story in Seattle is the one for me, because if they trade Russell Wilson and they draft a quarterback, well, then Seattle's going to take a notch or two back, in my opinion. And that's still been a team that's right there. They always make it in the postseason. Doesn't matter how hard the Cardinals play them. Doesn't matter within this division. Teams are already doing things. Cardinals so far, holding pattern. Mitch Stroman up next. We talk about NAU opening their season this Saturday. There's actually college football. This is not spring workouts. Because they were canceled by COVID in 2020, their 2021 season is going to have 6 games early, and then they'll have a full season in September. Mitch Stroman joins us next. As promised, let's turn our attention now to Northern Arizona University. This is such a cool story because, one, Chris Ball's doing a great job. It's year number 2. They didn't play in the fall. So we actually have football this Saturday. The Jacks are at home, 1 o'clock at the Sky Dome. They take on Southern Utah. Mitch Stroman, the longtime voice of NAU Athletics, joins us via Zoom for a few minutes to talk about, I mean, a whole bunch of stuff, Mitch. I mean, right off the top, it's year number 2 for Chris, and from a distance, it looks like he's just crushing it in Flagstaff.
I think he really is, Brad, and it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, it's funny when you say we're getting ready to play football. Let's start there first. Here we are in late February, and we're about to kick off the football season. Doesn't that sound right there a little bit strange and awkward? But that is the deal, and we are very fortunate as an FCS program in Flagstaff with NAU to be a part of what I'm calling the skinny schedule for football here in the winter, in the spring. We'll play 6 games against a skinny Big Sky Conference schedule. 5 of the 13 teams in the Big Sky, Brad, have opted out of the winter spring schedule, so they're not playing. So that leaves the remaining teams to put together a 6-game schedule with 2 built-in bye weeks. So that in and of itself is weird. And then you said something else that hit me a little bit, Brad. You said it's the second year for Chris Ball. Technically, that's right. It is. This will be his second season. But he's been here longer than 2 years because we didn't play football in 2020. So it's kind of a weird texture, isn't it, when you think about all of those oddities driven by the pandemic.
Mitch Stroman with us. Yeah, you're right on all fronts. What is it about Chris Ball that has worked from your view so far?
His effusiveness, his enthusiasm, his passion for the university, for Flagstaff, his passion for Arizona. And I know you're going to ask me, I'm sure, about this in the course of our conversation today, Brad. But if you look at how aggressively and how strongly Chris and his staff have recruited the state of Arizona. It's not just a passion. It's like in his chromosomes. Mm-hmm. He walked in the door. That was the very first thing he said day one at his welcoming press conference on campus here in Flagstaff, Brad. He made a big point of saying, I will recruit the living daylights out of Northern Arizona. We will, in Arizona generally, and we will find those athletes in this state and have them come to Flagstaff and play Division I college football. And he has made good on that promise. The numbers absolutely cannot be disputed. And that has, I think, endeared him to Lumberjack fans all over the country and has made him kind of a local hero here in Flagstaff, because he's also doing something that we haven't seen for a bit. He's actually recruiting kids from outside of the Phoenix and Tucson areas. Yep. So, you know, kids up here in Northern Arizona, for example, out from the eastern side of the state, southeastern Arizona. We have student athletes on the roster literally from the entirety of the Grand Canyon State. So he's kind of become this Arizona coach-centric kind of a guy. And I think that's been a big part of his success here in Flagstaff.
No, it's a good way to put it, because, you know, you look at P.J. London's a quarterback at Blue Ridge. Aguilar was there, but he's a kicker from Nogales. The Cuete brothers were doing their thing, and they transfer back in. Drayson Hall comes back in. He's a terrific talent. You know, I could go down the names of it, and you know it better than I do, but to your point, Mitch, he's just going and turning over rocks that U of A and ASU simply aren't doing. And some of these players could still be in Pac-12 or play in Pac-12. So whatever he is selling, and it's really good from a distance, it's working here in the state, because the high school coaches here in this state buzz more about NAU to me than they do about what's going on with their players getting attention from ASU and U of A. And then the people at ASU and U of A, I'll take that as a slight, but it's a fact. So, you know, I can't deny it. So what he is selling, I can see how that's very embraceable, not just in Flagstaff, but across the state.
That's a great way of framing it, Brad, because he is selling it not just to the student athletes in high schools in Arizona, but to their parents. He's selling them as well. And he is also selling those coaches, those high school coaches. Mm-hmm. And you know this as well as anybody. You cannot successfully recruit within your home state if you have not established positive relationships and powerful relationships that are built on trust, that are built on honesty. And you can't recruit without having those types of relationships with the high school coaches. They're the front door to recruiting all of these kids from Arizona. And it's not just Chris Ball. It's the entire staff.
Well, I'll jump in on you on this one, because to your point, I'm at a basketball game the other night at one of the most well-known established power high school programs. I'm sitting with their head football coach, and we're just talking shop. And he says, you know, what's going on with NAU, what I like about them is they're legit in their interest. They come in, they know what they're doing, they handle themselves professionally far more than other schools that we see. And this is one of the most established playing in semifinal, final games in their division in the state. And he's just sharing this. I'm not going to rat him out, because I know he still needs those other relationships. Right. But to your point again.
I love that. That anecdote you just shared, it really makes me feel great to be the voice of the Lumberjacks and hear that. And it absolutely 100% validates what we've been just talking about in terms of the commitment to Arizona and the relationships that Coach Chris Ball and his staff have made. And it's fun to watch, because even though I'm at a distance right now and have been since March of 2020 because of the COVID, you know, I can still see a little bit from afar up here what they're doing and how they're doing it, how they're comporting themselves with their recruiting philosophy, and what they're doing in terms of the messaging and the sale of NAU. And you know, it's interesting, Brad, because they're not just selling, I can tell you this, they're not just selling NAU football. They're selling the university.
Right.
They're selling Flagstaff. They're selling a quality of life. I mean, think about that. 18-year-old kids, and you're already kind of getting in the door with them and their parents on the quality of the experience of being here at 7,000 feet in the pine trees at this beautiful place in Flagstaff with this spectacular campus and this great college town. He sells the whole package with this. And you're right. It's making an impact. People are starting to, well, I'm not going to say they're starting. They have been buzzing. Yeah. They've been buzzing now for more than, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. And that's why when you look up and down the Lumberjack roster, and I'd say to your viewers, go online and look at the NAU roster online and just, you know, take your pen and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, count the kids from Arizona. And right now, roughly, it's about half of our roster, about 60 student athletes.
Yeah.
Need to say anything else about that? I mean, I think that makes the point.
Mitch Stroman with us for a couple of minutes talking NAU. They play this Saturday. So let's go through the nuts and bolts before I get you out of here. Will fans of any number be allowed in? If fans are saying, I want to go watch, are they allowing any fans in?
They are not, Brad. Unfortunately, that decision was made just a couple of weeks ago. No fans will be allowed in the Sky Dome. Cardboard cutouts will be in the Sky Dome, but no fans. Limited media. They're going to really keep the people, the personal footprint is as small as possible. I mean, I'll be able to call the game in there with Kevin Stevens, my color commentator. But even us at NAU TV, we're bringing down and shrinking down our production crew to produce the game for Pluto TV because we're trying to keep as few people as possible inside of the Sky Dome.
Okay, replacing someone at quarterback who was so good in Case Cookus. Give me a minute on the quarterback situation.
Wow. Well, could I take just a couple of seconds of that minute and just pay tribute to number 15, Case Cookus? He goes down in history statistically as the greatest quarterback in NAU history and one of the greatest quarterbacks in Big Sky Conference history. And if you go numbers, one of the greatest quarterbacks in FCS history. That's how good Case Cookus was. This will be on Saturday, the first time in 5 years that a guy not named Case Cookus will take the opening snap in the season opener. That's going to be weird in and of itself. His replacement, though, the guy who's going to try to fill those impossibly big shoes to fill, is a transfer from Oklahoma State. He's a very mobile quarterback. His name is Keandre Woodtee. And Woodtee played a couple of seasons, about four or five games with the Cowboys at Oklahoma State. He's a highly mobile quarterback who, if I compare him to Case had maybe a little more of an accurate deep arm than Woodtee does, but Woodtee has a more explosive arm. In other words, he can get it down the field, like flicking the ball, and it just goes 60 yards in the air on a dart. Extremely powerful arm, highly mobile out of the pocket. They've worked on his throwing mechanics since he first played with us. I know this is going to sound weird. In 2019, when he played a couple of games, injured his ankle, missed the rest of that season in 2019, which is the last time we played football in Flagstaff. And he's fully recovered. He has changed his mechanics to kind of shorten up the backswing just a little bit. He had a pretty wide backswing originally, and it put the ball out there a little bit in danger zone. So they've shortened that up, tightened it up. It hasn't done anything to his arm strength. He is going to be fun to watch and very interesting. He'll be backed up, and probably it may be even more than a backup role, a young man by the name of Jeff Widener. Widener will take snaps. Offensive coordinator Aaron Flugrad told me earlier this week that, Mitch, you're going to see Jeff on the field. He's that good. He's more of a little bit more of a pocket quarterback than Woodtee is, but the guy's got a high caliber arm. I think between the two of them, Brad, we're going to be in pretty decent shape trying to replace a future Hall of Famer in Case Cookus.
Good stuff there. We've got about a minute. So These six games, what does this lead to with playoffs?
Great question. What does it lead to? Why are we doing this? Yeah. What's the prize at the end of the day? What's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? That really is the question, isn't it? Why are we doing this? Playoffs is in play. Now, the FCS, the NCAA runs the FCS playoffs. Normally, that's a 24-team tournament. But because of COVID, because many conferences and FCS teams are not playing this schedule here in the winter and the spring. They kind of spun it down to a 16-team tournament. We're an automatic qualifier conference in the Big Sky, so if you win the conference championship, you're in. There are five at-large bids among the FCS conferences, so there's also an opportunity to come in that way. And then a 16-team tournament. So 16 teams, four games, national championship. The odds-on favorite in the FCS is, of course, the Bison of North Dakota State University. In the Big Sky Conference, Weber State is the defending champ, and they're the odds-on favorite right now. But with the shortened schedule, the skinny schedule I talked about earlier with you, Brad, I think the race is wide open, honestly. So they're playing for a Big Sky championship and an FCS national championship, just like we would have done last year if we'd played football in 2020.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, enjoy the call. Great insight. Appreciate the time. Let's stay in touch.
You got it, Brad. Anytime. Nice to be with you. Thanks.
There's Mitch Stroman, the longtime voice of the Northern Arizona University Lumberjacks. They open their football season. Yeah, as Mitch said off the top, in late February, talking about the opening of the season. It's kind of odd, but it's great. It's a lot of fun. We're back with more after this timeout.